Let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right on. Here goes. One, two, three.
Hello, Ann Arbor and the world. This is It's Hot in Here, and I am your host, Jennifer Johnson, here with two other awesome hosts.
Andrea Kraus.
And David Clive.
This is exciting. Andrea and I used to host this show together now several years ago, I feel, or one or two.
Two, yeah.
Time flies when you're a huge nerd. David Clive is joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, David.
I'm a student here at U of M. I'll be a senior in the anthropology department, specializing in archaeology.
Well, heck, that's great.
That's the most interesting thing I can say about myself.
Also, you like fishing.
I love fishing.
Yes.
In the Huron River specifically.
Okay. Have you tried it in other rivers or just the Huron?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that still rings the best one.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk more about that later.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So what do we have going on the show today?
You know, just a wonderful variety of different summer-themed environmental news, views, and grooves. We'll be talking about some environmental news here in Michigan, a little bit beyond Michigan. We'll have a special little feature about grilling, which I know everybody out there is either doing or really wants to be doing right now because it's so beautiful outside.
Yes.
I know I do.
Cook your food over some coals. We'll be telling the most eco-friendly way to do such a thing. And we'll be playing a lot of music from the Unknown Mortal Orchestra, a personal favorite of mine. And they are playing a show tonight in Pontiac, Michigan, I think at the Pike Room at the Crowfoot Ballroom. So before we just saturate your ears with Unknown Mortal Orchestra, we should play a little something from Stevie Wonder because this is really fun. So this is Higher Ground and soon Rebecca Harden. The ever infamous and ever awesome will be joining us on the phone all the way from Traverse City. So let's check in with Stevie. That was a little Stevie Wonder, and this is It's Hot in Here, and I believe we have Rebecca Harden on the phone.
Jennifer Johnson, you're back. You've moved from the Elm City to Tree Town again, and we are so happy to hear that you're back in Ann Arbor for the summer.
Oh, it's great to be here, I have to say. There are few more cozier and more lovely places in my experience.
Well, let me just tell all of you sitting in that hot little studio that summer has definitely arrived in the rest of the state. We just had the most beautiful couple of days in northern Michigan up here around Traverse City. We had a trip to the Sleeping Bear Dunes. And when I say a trip, I'm talking about half of the entire sixth grade of the Tappan Middle School from Ann Arbor doing an annual pilgrimage. The other half went last week. So the whole sixth grade has come up here to see for themselves what the Sleeping Bear Dunes situation is all about, to check out Traverse City and its charms, and then to spend a couple of days of really amazing outdoor education at the YMCA camps, Arbutus and Hiawentha, which are located on Torch Lake and Arbutus Lake, not too far from Traverse City. So I have just seen a lot of this state that I have never seen before, and it is gorgeous.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm jealous.
I know, David, I was thinking of you because fishing as you do, I mean, I have to tell you, well, first and foremost, Sleeping Bear Dunes is absolutely spectacular. I cannot believe I lived in this state for so long and have never been to see it.
I've still never been there. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Have you been up there, David?
No, I haven't.
Oh, because you're actually coming from Canada to Ann Arbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you maybe haven't explored. Highly recommend it if you have a way to get up there. It's amazing. And I feel like a lot of people abroad don't realize we have this here in our state, this sort of spectacular vista, turquoise blue water, beautiful white sand at a scale that you just don't see if you know, like, East Coast beaches and those dunes, or if you know even the Pacific. It's just a whole different thing to see dunes that tall and that huge. It's incredible.
What are the kids' reactions to it?
Well, most of them were really remarkably able to cover themselves in the sand at a really amazing pace and with a depth that lasted throughout the whole weekend. I mean, they were still saying sand in my pants 2 days later, right?
So there's
a dune you can climb. So we went first to that spot, had lunch, and the kids, like, actually just went at it. They climbed up, they rolled down. It can be a little perilous, but also thrilling and unlike anything you've really ever done before, I think, if you've never seen a dune that big. And there just can't be dunes that big outside of, like, the Sahara very often on this planet. So it was pretty cool. And after the dune climb, we did a scenic drive that had overlook points with picnic spots, and you could sort of look back at the dunes you've climbed and see how they relate to the wider lake shore. And I mean, it's just incredibly beautiful. One of the teachers on our trip, Britt Satchwell, who is himself a force of nature, had worked for years on the ore boats traveling up and down the lake from the iron ore deposits down towards Indiana, Chicago. And so he was reliving memories from those days as well and really missing, like, life on the big boats on the big lake. You know, it feels like an ocean. Yeah, it is cool.
It is very strange that we use the same word to refer to a backyard pond or a massively expansive inland sea like Michigan.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, I mean, I find that sort of a shame when you think about seas versus ocean. And, you know, there are scales with salt water more maybe than with fresh water. But when you're out on that fresh water, I mean, the smaller lakes like Arbutus and Torch Lake, I feel almost, like on a kayak on those lakes, I almost was feeling like I was in a prehistoric landscape where it has, like, to have that much fresh water around you, it almost feels, I mean, I can't imagine that being the future of our planet. It feels something out of the past, you know, when there was a lot more water everywhere, but it's just an amazing feeling to be floating on such a huge body of fresh, clear water. It's amazing.
It sounds very thirst-quenching. Like, you can't be out there and wonder how you're going to hydrate.
No, that's true. That's true. And we had also these teachers up at Arbutus and Hiawentha, the YMCA camps near Traverse City. I was very impressed as a person who teaches environmental issues at the University of Michigan and a person who's been involved in the effort to make Michigan's classroom learning more engaged and more experiential. Honestly, I think a lot of us professors and students at Michigan could learn a lot from this outdoor education community mm-hmm. because these guys, I mean, in particular, the counselor is Will Elmina Witt, who's from this part of Michigan, and she went out to Kansas and did an undergraduate degree in environmental biology. So now she's back and she's teaching many, many school children. This is a camp that runs a program in the fall, winter, and summer, spring. Okay, so it's fall, winter, spring, they do this outdoor education program for local Michigan primary schools and middle schools, and they get students out into the woods, and they have this range of classes from aquatic ecology to forest ecology to forces in motion, which is about Newtonian physics, where the kids use balls and they play with balls and other objects. It's all about getting out there and getting into it with your body and figuring out how the science works by feeling it and playing it instead of learning it from articles or books or PowerPoint lectures. And it was just the most amazing program. Kevin McNeil, who hails from Glasgow, Scotland, was a huge coordinating force for our big, big group of students. And as I said, Will Elmina Witt did our aquatic ecology class. So she took people down to the little lake shores and had them catch leeches and tadpoles and explore what kinds of creatures, tiny fingernail clams, which are indigenous mollusks to these lakes, in danger from zebra mussels and things like that. So the kids got a great sense of how these ecosystems work. It was amazing to watch, actually.
I'm jealous. I wish I could be out there right now.
I would love to have that transformative experience.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the most interesting games is apparently one that's been making the circuits in camps in Michigan for a while, and it's an adaptation of other camp games like Predator Prey, where actually it's based on the real-time wildlife population dynamics of our own Isle Royale here in Michigan.
Oh, wow.
And so the kids get divided into groups. Either they're a wolf or they're a moose. Or they're a plant, and they have armbands of different colors. And then the counselors or teachers send them out into the woods. And if you are a plant, you hide. If you're a moose, you try to find a plant and tag it and eat it, quote unquote, and bring it back. And if you're a wolf, you try to find a moose and tag it or eat it. So you can imagine, like, if you're a moose who eats a plant, then that plant no longer exists. And the plant becomes a moose, right?
Uh-huh.
If you're a wolf who eats a moose, the moose no longer exists, and they become a wolf. So when people come back in after one round of the game, they switch colored bands, and then they go back out as their new creature or their new identity in the ecosystem. So the kids played like 10 years of the cycle, and during that cycle, the wolves went extinct, just like they're actually doing on Isle Royale right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the moose population boomed, and then it flattened out because there was no food left. I mean, it was just so, and the kids were making these predictions, and the counselors had these big poster boards where they were plotting the data points by counting the armbands and having people stand in groups and see what happened each year, year to year. And then we had a big, you know, meeting with all the students, and it was like, what are we going to do? There's no more wolves. Do you guys think we should reintroduce wolves into the ecosystem? Which, of course, is a decision we're making in Michigan right now in terms of natural resource management. And the kids were, like, torn, and there were arguments for and against. And finally, they decided to reintroduce two wolves. And then they all went out back into the woods, like, and the kids are running and screaming and sweating. And the wolves are, like, howling before they get released into the woods to hunt the moose, to get their, you know, the moose scared of them coming into the woods. And it was absolute riotous fun, but plus also data collection skills, data management. Like, it was the most amazing experiential learning about ecology right here in Michigan. And the great thing is this camp does backpacking trips to Isle Royale in the summers as well. So the kids play these games in camp, and then they go out and they actually hike these ecosystems, so they see them in action. And I just have to tell you, I was blown away by the kind of introductions they gave children, and the play was hard and competitive. And then the closure, because mm-hmm. they were like, okay, now let's wrap this up. What do you think? If you were going to manage that system, how would you, you know, handle these challenges? I just think it's an amazing thing. Apparently, David Newhouse, the director of the outdoor education program at mm-hmm. these camps, has been there for about 8 years. And he's been watching and learning for a few of those first years. And in the last half decade or so, he's really put more complex ecology and more content into the game. And many, many, many schools across Michigan have benefited from this weekend trip to introduce the kids to outdoor learning and to, you know, learning while slapping mosquitoes kind of thing. It was great. It was absolutely amazing. Any of you who want more information should reach out. And on our blog cast tomorrow, we can post the link to Arvydas and Hiawatha to the David Uhouse and his team's site, where they've been building these, adapting games to the local environment and rolling out new experimental engaged learning activities every single year to complement the classic camp stuff like canoeing and rope stuff.
Marshmallows.
Marshmallows work out. We had marshmallows at our campfire.
I mean, it sounds like some of these games and this whole experience would be useful for people of all ages, really. I mean, it's not just kids, I think. You know?
David, I have to say, I mean, and you and I have actually sat in a classroom together. I mean, this is a whole different way of learning. And actually, Kevin McNeil, the guy from Glasgow who's been working at these camps for over 5 years now and is headed back to Glasgow for a graduate degree in outdoor education and developmental stuff, he was saying that if the facilitators are doing a good job, they can actually figure out which are the kids in the class who may not be straight-A students, but they're really smart, mm-hmm. and they can figure out how to pull those kids in to a pretty high-level debate about the science just because they're in it with their bodies and they're engaging it in a new way, and those kids can feel more confident about their ability to learn the complex science and go back into the classroom energized. Which is just such a cool idea. I mean, the levels of facilitation were great. They kept the teachers kept asking us chaperones to just sit back and watch, because they were really making the kids work together and learn together in a really skilled way. I was super impressed by what's going on up at these Michigan woods.
Well, Rebecca, we are so happy that you've been able to take the time first to be there and then to share those experiences with us. It's inspirational, even though we are sitting in a studio not swatting mosquitoes away from us.
No leeches?
No leeches. That still makes me shudder.
It's still an inspirational studio, though.
Yes. Thank you.
For sure. No, and I have to say, I hope we can get some of these program builders down into the studio at some point for a slightly more in-depth look at this kind of engaged learning. It'd be really cool to do on the future of Hot in Here. But in the meantime, David, Jennifer, Andrea, thank you for being in the studio today and for taking my call.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Thank you for calling in, and hopefully you will be here next week.
Well, I will be. In fact, I'll be back later on this evening. So I'll be in touch with all of y'all, and thanks, of course, as always, to Cameron, the awesome engineer who patched me in so gratefully.
He sure did.
Y'all have a good rest of the show.
Thank you so much, and safe travels back to Tree Town.
Okay.
Bye. All right. So one thing in summer is to actually these tensions between enjoying where you are and having devices that are flashing at you and reminding you of relationships that are meaningful elsewhere and yet are not those that you're experiencing with you right now. So let's listen to the next song, which is Can't Keep Checking My Phone. This is by the Unknown Mortal Orchestra off their new album, Multilove.
Thank you.
Got us thinking about the trade-offs between technology and actually experiencing places.
Exactly. I was just telling David and Jen that I was in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic city, by the
Where
way.
Where haven't you been in the last couple of weeks is
yes.
what I want to know.
It's yeah, really. Been a wonderful
Alaska,
wonderful
Louisiana.
But yeah, my sister and I, we were there celebrating her graduation and didn't have a guidebook on us or anything of the sort. So I just really quickly downloaded an app called Bootstraps, which has like it essentially offers a scavenger hunt in different cities. So you can choose a neighborhood, for example, let's say Carytown. You can do a Carytown scavenger hunt, and the app guides you to different spots in Carytown and will give you historic information and just cool little
fairy
trivia.
Door to fairy door.
Fairy door to fairy door to gremlin door. Exactly. And, you know, it was so much fun. It was a great way to explore the Garden District in New Orleans. And as Rebecca was talking about how engaged learning and outdoor education is something that is, you know, adults can definitely benefit from. And I think we were all sitting here really jealous hearing about the experience of those kids. I was thinking, you know, I'm sure that there's an app out there already, and if there's not, it'd probably be a really great idea to develop such an app that just guides you around parks or trails or I'm sure the B2B trail here in Michigan, right? And there's probably lots of great places to stop at and just learn a little bit more about the ecology of a certain area or the history of it. And in that sense, maybe our phones are, you can bring it along and it's not going to be distracting. Maybe it helps you actually get more into.
Yeah.
And possibilities also for citizen sort of science, as we'd call it, within those places. Like, okay, this tree is blooming right now. It's on this app I downloaded to enjoy this park. I'm going to enter that in or something to make it intuitive and feedback in both ways. I think that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Especially because so much about so much having to do with learning about your environment is just about identification of things. Like this is, you know, this kind of tree or this kind of bird or, you know, whatever kind of animal. It'd be, you know, nice to have some sort of reference when you're out there as a, you know, a newcomer to the environment, I guess.
Exactly. And as Rebecca also mentioned, just like this pilgrimage out to nature, I think really helps us appreciate it more and then take care of it better, too. So we also just wanted to talk about real quick. And listeners, I really encourage you to partake in this conversation. Just the best spots in Michigan. What are your favorite spots to enjoy the summer? You can call us at 734-763-3500. If you're willing to share, I understand people are very protective of their favorite beaches and their favorite swimming holes. But yeah, Dave and Jennifer, what are your favorite spots that you're willing to share with our listeners?
Well, I love water. and being in it and being near it. I would say my favorite place for hanging out by water, simply because there aren't a lot of people around, is, now I'm telling everyone, but that's okay, support Michigan parks, is Half Moon Lake. And they have grills and like a volleyball court that almost is never used during the weekdays. You can go there and be the only one. You can even bring motorized boats, which is why down the road, Pickerel Lake is my favorite place for swimming, because the water is just so pristine.
Ooh.
Is that close to here?
It's about a 30-minute drive, 20, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Bring a buddy. Stop at Jenny's farm stand on the way back. Get some hot and spicy, sweet and spicy, or whatever it is, pickles.
Can I fish there?
Yes. You can fish in both places. You may need to get check and get the proper permit from the Michigan Department of Recreation or whatever it should be. But yeah, I mean, Michigan has a pass that will allow you to access all these parks for a year for a very affordable rate. Mm-hmm. So those are certainly something we should support. So there you have it. Those are my favorite spots.
I also love being by water and being from Port Huron, which is right on Lake Huron, going down to the boardwalk where the St. Clair River goes in between Port Huron and Canada, and just looking at the Blue Water Bridge there. Aww, just kind of awesome. Hanging out.
Do we have a caller on the phone? Is that the gesture I'm getting, Cameron? Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Who is this?
This is Jared.
Hi, Jared. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm at work. I've been working with my headphones on and been listening to this program. And I've spent 31 years in Michigan, and I love the state. It's got some really great places to go traveling during the summertime if you can get away from work and get away from the daily grind. I really, really love Pictured Rocks. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
I've heard of that.
And they have a whole hiking trail, and there's, you know, you're walking along sheer drop-offs, you know, probably 75, 80 feet a foot drop-offs just to your right side as you're walking along this trail.
Wow, that's fantastic. I think I usually associate the Great Lakes as sort of, I mean, vast, obviously, but, you know, kind of flat apart from the dunes. And I think that sort of dramatic cliffside view is something I would never even think to associate with this area. So that sounds like just a really beautiful place to check out.
Yeah, you got to go north. I mean, and there's waterfalls up in the Upper Peninsula. I don't even know this. My friends went snowboarding this winter, and they went to a mountain. There's actually a mountain in Michigan, and I was like, what? I've lived here 30 years and didn't know that. And, I mean, it'll take you – it's not a huge mountain, but it's still considered a mountain.
We used to come to that mountain from Ohio with my family. So I can guarantee you it's better than the landfill mountains we have there.
Yeah, yeah. and so I've also hiked Isle Royale when I was in Boy Scouts as a kid, and that was pretty incredible experience. I didn't hear one woof the whole time I was there, and it's pretty amazing. And so it was like a 6-hour boat ride just to get out to this place, you know. And then we spent 2 weeks hiking the whole island, and I got really, really close and personal with moose. you don't want to do that.
You have to be careful. I didn't realize they were so aggressive.
They are.
They're actually so. In Alaska, I learned that moose are actually you have to worry about them much more than bears, because if they get spooked, they'll kick you to death.
I came across a mother moose and its baby. Ooh. And I got too close to the baby. And this moose actually charged me, but it was down in a little ravine. And so, like, I got away, you know, but it was scary. My Boy Scout leaders were, like, so angry at me, because it was like they would have had to flown me out on a helicopter if I would have gotten injured, you know.
Oh, gosh.
So, yes, be careful. If you go to Isle Royale, you know, don't try to get too close to the moose, you know.
That note, I also heard latest status update on the wolves. Is there 3 left?
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even hear one while I was there. You know, we listened. I saw lots and lots of moose. A lot of, we drank the water right from Lake Superior, filtered it, and drank the water right from Lake Superior, and that was pretty cool.
Maybe we should be setting up some candles in the forest, some smooth music, something for the wolves.
For the wolves,
so they can feel a little comfy, maybe like a nice padded cozy den in a cave. I don't know where wolves like to get together.
What if there's 3 male wolves?
Well, we've got to bring in a lady. At least one.
But yes, but I highly recommend to anybody to go check out Picture Rocks. You won't regret it. It's beautiful. You can do kayaking trips through there's like kind of like a cave sort of, I think, or you can just do kayaking trips around the Pictured Rocks, and like you can go swimming around there, and then like the rocks will go out really, really far. In Marquette, there's a cliff. You can do cliff diving in Marquette. I went and did that before. That was pretty fun. Black Rock, I think, is what it's called. That's kind of a neat little spot.
I am making notes of this right now. Okay.
So, if you want to go to Mackinac Island, there's the fort there, and that's kind of fun, too. It's more historical. You know, it's not as naturist, but anyways, there you go. There's my 2 cents.
Thank you, Jared.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. It's a great show. I've been enjoying it. I listen to it all the time. So.
Oh, we're so happy to hear
appreciate
that.
Appreciate it.
And it's listeners and contributors like you that make it so very special.
Cool. Well, you guys have a great afternoon.
Thanks, you too.
You too.
All right, take care.
All right. And in a tribute to water and swimming and large predatory animals, let's listen to Swim and Sleep Like a Shark. This is off of the Unknown Mortal Orchestra's second album, which is just called 2, I think, in Roman numerals. It's delicious. Let's take a listen. That was the Unknown Mortal Orchestra, and they will be playing tonight at the Pike Room at the Crowfoot Ballroom in Pontiac. So check it out. I think the opener starts at 8. Who is Jay Rodriguez?
That's right. And just here on It's Hot in Here, WCBN FM Ann Arbor,
yeah.
We are talking summer fun, summer news, summer grooves, brought to you by this great band. And what could be more summery than my favorite summer activity, grilling?
That's the sounds of sizzling.
You
on the
guys
grill.
Love barbecue, right?
Yes.
Love barbecue.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't? So I was reading Greased, and somebody wrote in asking what the most eco-friendly way to actually cook outdoors is. And is cooking outdoors in general eco-friendly, or should, if she wants to be, you know, great environmentalist, should she really just take it indoors and just use her oven? And the response was interesting enough for us to think that we should share it with you, dear listener. So what do you guys think, David and Jennifer? Charcoal, gas?
What about just wood?
So I think just wood falls into the charcoal category.
But
right?
Charcoal is wood that, I mean, and this isn't an option because people aren't generally cooking with just wood here, so it wouldn't factor in, but elsewhere in the world, certainly. But charcoal is made from burning the wood in the first place to sort of compact the energy and then is burned again. But I wonder, I mean, it's not the most efficient, although if you, I'm thinking wood, if you have a stove built in a particular way that you're using most of the energy, maybe just wood is the way to go. But that's my take. And there's no way to substantiate it with the article from The Grist.
We'll have to do a study.
Yes.
Well, guess what? People have done studies.
Wonderful.
It turns out, much to the delight of Hank Hill, propane is the way to go, you guys.
And propane accessories. You got to get the accessories.
Propane accessories. Charcoal, I have to admit, I just love that taste, that sort of burned meat taste that charcoal provides.
Give me that cancer on my food.
Yeah, exactly. It's also really bad for you, but it's so delicious. It fails in a number of ways. So just when you're talking local pollution, so the people who are actually standing around the grill inhaling the emissions, charcoal is just not very good for them. It releases a lot of different volatile organic compounds and particulate matter that can cause all kinds of health problems, and also contributes to smog since it causes ground level ozone. Gas is a lot cleaner in general. It burns a lot. It burns a lot more efficiently as well. So in terms of just carbon emissions that beyond local pollution, it's also much cleaner in that sense. So gas wins. But the best thing you can actually do is before just topping off your grill with a bunch of steaks, consider replacing one of those steaks with some celery or some peppers or some tomatoes.
Or asparagus, which is in season. My mom has been really in, radishes are also in season. My mom's been really into baking them for some reason, roasting them. I'm sure you could put them on the grill. Roasted radishes, anybody?
I bet that would be delicious.
Yeah.
Carrots are coming, beets, roasted rhubarb? Maybe.
I haven't had rhubarb in so long.
Well, now's the time because these things are in season. Just get crazy, put them on your grill.
Yeah, the Ann Arbor Farmers Market was definitely full of them. I bought some amazingly crispy, fresh radishes on Wednesday, and I think I've eaten them all up already because they're just so good.
What a great snack.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
And Chris also talked about how actually cooking outdoors in the summer is a better option than cooking indoors and using your oven.
Really?
Yes, which is good news for those of us who are grill. And it's for a couple of reasons. So one of which is that for those of us that use air conditioning every once in a while, the oven will heat up your home and therefore will cause you to blast air conditioning more, which
makes sense.
Is actually gonna, you know, use up a lot more energy than if you just go outside
or just take off more of your clothes. That's another option.
Or just be naked in the kitchen, which is fine.
If it's hot in there, use nature's skills that they have given you, which is your skin.
But apparently gas grills also just tend to be more efficient than ovens in general. So there you go. You know, grill while
propane is a byproduct of oil refining and natural gas,
exactly.
Which is complicated.
It
But if we're thinking about particulate matter,
yes,
propane's the way to go.
Apparently, though, if you are really attached to that delicious woodsy burning taste, there's another option out there. It's a pellet grill, and I have never used this myself or even seen it. But pellets are actually made from waste wood, which is great because that means you're just using up pieces of wood that would otherwise go to waste, just be thrown away.
Sure.
And they do burn a lot more efficiently and a lot more clean than charcoal does. And the pellets can come in different flavors, such as mesquite or hickory.
Ooh.
So they'll add that to your meat. I don't know if that, I don't know.
Or
like
your
something
asparagus.
There kind of, yeah, or asparagus, mesquite flavored asparagus. Sounds amazing.
Sounds really good.
But yeah, so there you go. If you want to check out more on that, you just go on grist.org on Ask Umbras. latest feature, what's the most eco-friendly way to grill, and remember, guys, just try to get some veggies on that grill. That's actually the best way to go.
And take your feet or ride your bicycle, which takes us to our next tune, which is Bicycle by the Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Segways. That was a tune, Bicycle, off their first album, Unknown Mortal Orchestra, simply titled that. This guy's from New Zealand and lives in Portland, started making music. He's in a punk band called the Mint Chicks, which is no longer happening, but still has great music living out there. And he just started releasing music on Bandcamp. And his friends were like, have you heard this group, Unknown Mortal Orchestra? They're amazing. So it's kind of low profile. But they are playing tonight in Pontiac, so check that out. We have Sam on the line. Welcome, Sam.
Hello.
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 Sam Molnar, Snerd in the Wild. What are you doing with yourself these days?
Well, currently I'm going to deliver my rent check because I'm about to be 5 days late.
Oh, no.
But luckily,
taking care of business.
A five-day buffer on my rent.
That's a generous buffer.
I'm in the same boat.
It is a generous buffer, so I'm taking advantage. But I'm working for the Great Lakes Commission and playing with computers.
Ooh.
Ooh. At the same time?
Yeah, at the same time.
How so? Yeah. Can you tell us about it, or is it sort of top secret Great Lakes affairs?
I can let you in on a little bit of it.
Okay.
We are looking, so you may not know this, but coal plants pollute the Great Lakes.
Whoa.
And depending on what type of smokestack they're using on a different type of day, they can pollute the Great Lakes with different pollutants. So at noon, the pollutants that the coal plant is putting into the Great Lakes are different and perhaps worse than, for example, at 4 o'clock in the morning, when they might be using a different smokestack. And so you can have higher levels of mercury being put into the lake depending at what time of the day the coal plant is burning.
Hmm.
So what does all that have to do with computers? Well, interestingly enough, one of the major users of coal power in the Great Lakes is water, because it takes a ton of energy to pump water into our municipal water system. And so what you can do is you can evaluate at what time of day should we be reducing our energy usage to reduce the types of pollutants that we really don't want in the lake, like mercury, as opposed to other pollutants that maybe were you know, so on having them get into the lake. So the water plants can connect their pumps via an internet network to the coal plant, and the water pumps can talk to the coal plant, and the coal plant will tell the water pumps when to lay back on the energy so that they produce less of the really nasty stuff.
That's phenomenal. I mean, it's...
Yes.
This, I'd never thought about the link between water pollution and actually sourcing water. Like, these things are very much connected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the really amazing part is that you don't even need humans to intervene in this process necessarily. You can set up the network, which is what we're working on with the Great Lakes Commission, scoping out how this project could potentially work. Is you can set up the network so that the devices can talk to each other, and humans don't need to be involved with managing that and can focus on more complex issues that you need a human brain for and that a computer can't handle.
Or even that, you know, it's okay to be a little more subjective with, and I can see humans maybe making decisions based on other factors, not necessarily related to when are you going to be polluting, you know, less than at other times. So is this part of the whole smart infrastructure movement in general?
Right.
Yeah, and so Michigan is sort of getting on track with that?
Yeah, this is part of the whole idea about an Internet of Things, where there's this idea out there that in the next, like, 15 or 20 years, there will be more objects connected to the Internet than people that will be communicating with each other through our internet networks. And actually, Michigan, surprisingly enough, is sort of a breakthrough on this. And the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department is implementing this system already. And Rick Snyder, the governor, is going to be releasing a report on Monday about his 25-year plan for water in Michigan. And who knows, we might see some Internet of Things in that.
Mm. So do you foresee a lot of water quality talk in general? I mean, we're hearing so much in California about droughts and just not having enough water. Do you think working at the Great Lakes Commission, is it just much more about maintaining the quality of the water?
Yeah, well, we are blessed in the Great Lakes to have so much water that quantity, at least in the lakes, is not really an issue. In groundwater, in some places we worry about quantity, but no, we're not going to be really running out of water anytime soon. In fact, there are more between the Chicago diversion into the Great Lakes, and there's also Lake Nipissing. I hope we have
Nipissing.
No listeners in Ontario.
Nipissing.
Tear apart my pronunciation, but there's more diversions into the Great Lakes than the total amount of water that humans use in the Great Lakes. So really, it's about quality, and it's about having the infrastructure to get the water to people's houses. We lose tons of water from the pipes leaking.
Yeah, that there's definitely, that's on the news a lot these days about these pipes and just what's going on with all that. So it does sound like an important topic that we hope to cover more on another It's Hot in Here segment. But thanks, Sam, for calling in. And just out of curiosity, we were earlier talking about favorite spots to enjoy the Michigan summer. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but yeah, do you want to share your favorite spot with us?
Ooh, my favorite spot.
Michigan summer.
Well, I have a favorite spot that I've yet to enjoy, but I really want to go visit. So it's South Manitou Island is an island that you take a ferry to from Leland, Michigan. And it's part of the Sleeping Bear National Park. And the whole island is a wilderness camping site. You can pitch your tent anywhere you want and enjoy the lovely Lake Michigan breeze. And I also really appreciate the naked cooking that occurs in the summertime. I thought that was
I'm glad you're with me on that, Sam.
So, yeah. You can do that anywhere on South Manitou Island because there's no one there.
I just recommend do not naked fry anything.
That's, not bacon.
Yeah, been
anyway.
There, done that. Yeah. That's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It's painful.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Sam. Enjoy the rest of your internship. I hear you're going to be back on It's Hot in Here for other shows this summer, so we're really excited about that.
That's true, and I've been recruiting in the office to bring people with me.
Yes.
So you'll have lots of Great Lakes Commission scientists hopefully featured on the show this summer.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, thank you for all the work you do, and we look forward to having you back in the studio.
All right, adios.
Okay, pay that rent. Well, there's so much to love about Michigan in the summer. So let's listen to the title track from the Unknown Mortal Orchestra's latest album called Multi-Love. Bike to the farmer's market to purchase your asparagus to cook on your grill with either a pellet source from otherwise disused wood or propane and propane accessories, you can catch your own fish to put on your grill. Is that right?
Absolutely.
How easy is that to do?
It
on
depends
a scale
on...
of 1 to 10.
Depends what kind of fish you want to catch, really.
Fair enough.
If you want to fly fish, maybe you're looking at like a 7 or an 8.
That's like next level fishing, I feel like.
Do you guys know how to fly fish? Have you fly fished before?
I do.
Ooh.
I haven't, but I think I would really enjoy it.
It's pretty challenging.
You've got to have a lot of accessories, I feel like.
You do. It's definitely, yeah, it's a more challenging version of just regular fishing. But it's also more relaxing because you have to be more focused and you just have to concentrate on it more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, you can get lost in it.
You do not check your phone and your apps while you are flexing.
You want to be quiet, probably, so you're disturbing the fish.
Especially if you fish on the asabel.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of what's in season, brown trout on the asabel are eating the mayfly hatches that are abound right now.
Thank you for that, because mayflies are disgusting.
Yes. They have to remove them in the city of Mayo, which is right on the Esapo, which is huge fishermen travel there from all over to fly fish. They actually have to clear the dead hex flies out of the road with snowplows.
That makes me want to gag.
They mate in the air and then fall down to the ground dead.
Yes.
And then just...
There were a ton of these in Lake Victoria, where I work, seasonally fluctuating with the moon also. And because the ecology has changed, the fish that used to eat a lot of them aren't there in the same kinds of ways. And the males are much less gross than the females, if I can say so, because they're small. And you can inhale them, but they don't bite. And they're in these big clouds that look like, what are they, water spouts even coming, or like giant storm clouds. But the females, they again, I think they're mating in the air, and then they jam down to the ground and just like spin around and like this dead thing. And
it's
then in the morning,
fall when they come down.
Then in the morning, it's just like tumbleweeds or something. It's just like they sort of just disappear, like they're eaten by something else. And but it's different than having to get a snowplow to clear it all off.
I've never seen that, but I can only imagine.
Well, after the show, I'll be getting some live footage.
All right. I'll put it up in the blogcast.
I appreciate
that. And for those of us who are fishing beginners, can we just go to the Huron River down and put a little line?
Sure. I think you have to have a license.
Oh, okay.
But
it's probably like $10 or something.
I think it's $25. You used to be able to buy the regular license or the all species, and the all species was more, but now they're both included.
Okay, cool.
What do you recommend using as bait?
I would recommend a spinner, perhaps a MEPS or other brand of... spinner.
Is this like a lure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, MEPS is
what
a
if you were
lure.
Losing saw do you use a live bait on that?
No.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
And think like a fish and hope you get that fish.
Exactly.
Awesome. Let's listen to another tune that I really enjoy from this album, and then we'll come back and say goodbye and listen to another tune. This is Necessary Evil.
to the ammonitor. As a modest and infested with chemicals, you need a new drug and a bit by CIA. I wanna be your friend, don't have the self-control.
This is WCBN FM Ann Arbor, and this is It's Hot in Here. And that was just the Unknown Mortal Orchestra with their tune Necessary Evil. And they will be playing a show tonight at 8 p.m. at the Pike Room at the Crowfoot Ballroom in the great city of Pontiac, Michigan. I will be there. The Liz will be there.
It's a great venue.
Is it? Good. That's good to know.
Oh, you haven't been to the Crowfoot?
Never.
It's pretty small. It's very intimate.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like everything about that. That's good. That's very, very good. So fishing. Let's get serious. So if you really wanted to catch fish to eat, to take home, I mean, there's some issues with water quality that some fantastic friends of this show are working on. Say once a week, twice a week, you want to get some wild protein. Where would you recommend going around here and what time of day?
I would recommend between dawn and probably about noon.
Okay.
So, morning.
Okay, morning.
Before 10 would probably be the best.
Okay.
And there is a really deep section of the Huron by Island Park.
Uh-huh.
And I have caught the biggest bass I've ever caught out of the Huron was there.
Uh-huh.
So I'd recommend going there, fishing the deep, slow pools on the side of the river.
Oh, I am going to do this, and then I'm going to hot smoke them with some chips.
Pellets?
With some pellets. Seriously. Because, and then the fish lasts for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm into it. I've got to get a rod now. If anyone has a rod they'd like to lend me, feel free to call 734-763-3500. This is not a euphemism.
The boys in my village didn't have fishing rods. They would just get like a stick and tie.
Oh, yeah. Or a can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can use a can with just a line and a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anything
but still,
floats,
if you have a rod, 734-763-3500, and not do the can attack.
On the topic of lure, which we were talking earlier, in Texas, my uncle took me catfish fishing a mm-hmm. number of times, and bacon used to work really well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see bacon working up here?
If you want to catch catfish, sure.
Okay. Or hot dogs, also for catfish and bluegill. That just proves that there's nothing alive that doesn't like bacon. Or few things.
Yeah.
Few animals that don't want to have it. Shall we listen to another tune?
Why not?
Perhaps maybe Your Life One Night, also from the Multi-Love album.
Yeah.
Well, our time is coming to a close here on It's Hot in Here, but man, I've learned a lot. Places to go in Michigan. Thank you to Rebecca calling in from Traverse City to talk about all the great work going on up there on the environmental education front. Jared from Ann Arbor with hot tips on Michigan adventures. A listener, we really appreciate that. Sam calling in to fill us in on technology and nature, and I've learned so much about grilling from Andrea Krauss. Thank you to Cameron for being an intrepid and super on-point engineer. I love it.
And I learned so much about fishing from David Clive, who I hope you continue to share all your fishing wisdom over the summer with us.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I learned about the Unknown Mortal Orchestra and their concert tonight.
See? That's if I could do one thing today, it was that. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. And thank you to all who are listening. Tune in next week where we'll be talking about something totally different but tangentially related. Let's take it out on the final Unknown Mortal Orchestra song I will play for you today, and it's called The World is Crowded. Have a great weekend, Ann Arbor and the world.
Crowded.